Good morning. So we are a storytelling people. It's part of our DNA, right? Intrinsic to who we are, it goes back far into time, probably as far back as to when there were primitive hunters in these carved out caves with their fires flickering away in the dark of night. We are a storytelling people. And this morning, I'm going to share an important part of our story. One which is part of our history and our current future here at Hollywood United Methodist Church. And I'll also incorporate another story from a Native American faith tradition, which I find appropriate for today's focus topic, intentional faith development. Now, intentional faith development is one of the five practices of fruitful living as shared by Bishop Robert Schnazy in his insightful book, which has been part of the integration in our current sermon series. And as we move forward over the next 16 or so minutes, giving you a fair warning of how long this is going to go, today's message is going to center on opportunities, intentionality, exploration, and growth. This is all within our respective journeys, individually and as a community of faith. And as I said, we are a storytelling people. It's the same as Jesus. which was integral to his public ministry for the transformation of the world. And we see this as an example, and it's right there in one of the parables which Jesus told, and it's included by the author of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. And I'm going to invite Ryan Shervington to read today's scripture, which comes from the Common English Bible. And you'll see these verses on the walls, and again, this is from Luke 13, 6 through 9.
Jesus told this parable. A man owned a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it and found none. He said to his gardener, "Look, I've been looking for fruit on this fig tree for the past 3 years, and I've never found any. Cut it down. Why should it continue depleting the soil's nutrients?" The gardener responded, "Lord, give it one more year, and I will dig around it and give it fertilizer. Maybe it will produce fruit next year. If not, then you can cut it down." May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding.
So here is what I call the experience of the gospel of the second chance. It's an allegorical passage about the spiritual journey. Now, if we were to go back 2,000 years back in the day with Jesus, you might say that he was placing emphasis on the urgency of the times, because Jesus knew that his time and his ministry with the people, it's going to be physically, it's going to be short. There's not a whole lot of time. And so he's wanting them to effectively apply this gospel message to their very lives, especially their spiritual lives. And we can go down that road. But I also see it essential to share that this parable not be misinterpreted as being one full of judgment, God's holy wrath, one of damnation because you didn't get jiggy with Jesus. Rather, here is what we have, and indeed it is the gospel of the second chance, that our divine creator, this is what our divine creator wants for us, to be fruitful, to be productive, to be effective, to be successful. And when we aren't, sometimes we get stuck in the gridlock of life, or we're down in the depths of the spiritual apathy, those throes, or, you know, we're not being so productive. Well, it's not going to be a dictate from upon high saying, "You suck, and you need to go to the far corners of the earth." But instead, this is a divine, merciful, "Don't you know how much I love you? Don't you know that? Give me a chance. Work with me. Let's do this together, because together we can yield wonderful fruit. What do you say?" Man, now that's a wonderful message that I'd love to be hearing all the time, because this is always Jesus' way to give us chance after chance after chance. What do you say to that? Now, to the short about a fig tree. It's brought forward by Jesus in the parable, so we should discuss it, and here's some pertinent facts for us relatable to the people of the day. A fig tree normally takes 3 years to reach maturity. Now, after the end of 3 years, if the fig tree hasn't produced fruit, guess what? Most likely, well, it's not going to produce fruit at all. And in this instance, what should be done? Yank it out. Uproot that unproductive fig tree, because you see, it's taking up valuable ground. What I find interesting about this allegorical story is this. It's as if the fig tree is trying to produce figs on its own, and it wasn't working. And then along comes this gardener, and he pleads with the owner of the vineyard, and he says, "Hey, let me work with this tree. I'll actively cultivate the ground in which this tree lives. I will provide it with constant care. I will apply fertilizer so that it can grow healthy to be the fruitful tree that it's always been called to be." Now, I'd say that that nurturing gardener, that fearless advocate, that tireless caretaker is who we want in our lives all the time. Amen? So we can be who we've been called to be. Now, here's where I want to tell a story. It's a part of our church history, and especially a part in which we are currently living. This is truly an amazing story. It's like a screenwriting bestseller. Opportunities, challenges, ups and downs. It is one of love, grace, and mercy. There has been so much mercy in this story. It is a story of multiple chances, and it goes well with today's parable. For several decades, the once proud neighborhood church, it was a faith community, it was known as Toluca Lake United Methodist Church. It was struggling for decades, struggling mightily. Bishop Swenson over there can nod her head on that one, I'm sure. But you know what? Eventually, there was only about 10 people attending worship at the time. And it came this point where they were depleting its resources. In essence, the tree had depleted the soil's nutrients. And it was time, sadly, for that church congregation to close its doors. The California Pacific Annual Conference then extended an offer to Hollywood United Methodist Church. And they said, will you make new ministry happen at this site, at 4301 Cahuenga Boulevard in Toluca Lake? To which Hollywood UMC accepted. Now I want to give you an aside that the California Pacific Conference is a regional body of the United Methodist Church made up of some 70,000 members from about 350 local churches, and that's here in Southern California, parts of Central California, you got the Pacific Islands, Saipan, Guam. Well, here's the truth. From the moment of acceptance by Hollywood UMC of the extended offer to make new ministry happen in Toluca Lake, challenges arose in what became an arduous journey. Things just weren't clicking. Now, there's no shame or blame here. It's just the truth. And it was clear, there's a variety of reasons behind it, that this fig tree wasn't producing fruit, and it might have to be cut down. That's when the CalPAC New Ministries director, Reverend Nicole Riley, and the New Ministries team approached the bishop and the cabinet to look at this fig tree with fresh eyes, to shake things up and cultivate it in a different and unexpected way for intentional development, and to give this new ministry from Hollywood UMC one more chance. Rev Kathy and the governance board agreed to go unexpected. And that's when a lay pastor was assigned to the Toluca Lake site starting in January 2017, passionate to make ministry happen in a transformative way in active cooperation with the Holy Spirit. That lay pastor is me. But I'm making this very clear. This isn't about me. This is not about me. And it's not going to be about me. It is about God. It is about working through Christ. It is about these individuals in leadership at what is known now as Harmony Toluca Lake, who answered and continue to answer the call of Christ and who are tirelessly giving of themselves for something greater. It is about creating something that is vibrant and productive for the whole body of Hollywood United Methodist Church, and most especially the kingdom of God. It is about growing healthy and bearing fruit with the opportunity that has been given to us. Note I said us. To absolutely be fearless and to be difference makers in this broken and hurting world. This, my friends, is a story about all of us. One church. Two campuses, Hollywood, Toluca Lake, with all of our leaders and community members coming together with clear intention and purpose to live fully and passionately into our faith so that the tree of new ministry may bear indeed wonderful fruit. This is a story worth well telling because, my friends, we are the fig tree. And I give abundant thanks, gratitude, and appreciation to Rev. Kathy, to the Rev. Nicole, to the Harmony Toluca Lake leadership team, to the governance boards, and to everyone, all of you, supporting this new ministry. It is a story worth celebrating, yet, yet, we still have a lot to do. We have got to continue to carefully cultivate this new ministry with our prayers, our presence, our witness, our financial gifts, our service, all the while diligently following Christ every step of the way. This now leads me to that other promised story. From a Native American faith tradition, here we have a grandfather telling a story to their grandchild, and this is what he says. Inside me, there are two wolves who fight each other all the time. Now, one is motivated by peace, gentleness, honesty, justice, and love. And the other lives by resentment, bitterness, hate, anger, and violence. Well, the child asks, which one wins? And the elder says, the one I feed. Which one wins? The one I feed. A relevant story about our spiritual struggle and growth. Too often, as followers of Christ, and I'm going to say this as a general blanket followers of Christ, we just dabble in religion. We gingerly tip our toes into what we deem as comfortable. Oh, you know, we'll attend worship, which granted, for some of us, it was a big step, having thought lightning would strike us when we walked through those doors into sacred territory. Fellowship and hospitality after worship, well, maybe, okay, that's a comfortable enough setting. All right. When it comes to the Bible, yeah, we know a few stories. We can bandy about a few scripture verses with a topic of interest or when a debate percolates. Yet scripture on the whole, it remains mysterious. We feel like, oh man, I'm sort of out of my element, especially when others, quote unquote, know the Bible seemingly so well and they use it as a weapon against us. So then, why is it that we don't want to embrace being comfortable with being uncomfortable? Why is it that we're hesitant to not deepen our faith? Why do we resist spiritually growing in community with one another? Rather, striking out on our own instead. And I use that baseball metaphor. I think it's apt. Striking out. Does it have to do with fear? Feeling inadequate? Wondering if we'll be accepted for who we are, accepted for wherever we may be on this spiritual path. Maybe we just don't feel we're good enough, whatever that means. Maybe we're awkward. We feel awkward about our knowledge of the lack thereof of the Bible. Maybe it's because we don't know other people. Maybe they have different beliefs than we do, that there's never enough time. I'll hone in on that last one. There's never enough time. Well, you see, there's 24 hours in the day, and there's 7 days a week. And we lay out our schedules with work, sleep, whatnot, and we can fill every day of every hour with whatever. Yet, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that we'll find time if we feel something or someone in particular is important? Now, we may not feel that we have the time. We may not feel that we can find the time. But if we want strongly enough, we're certainly going to make the time. Oh, we're going to move other things around in our schedules, and we'll commit in Commitment Phobia Los Angeles. You see, folks, sometimes they want their spiritual life to be easy, sort of like fast food. Keep it short and sweet, like watch a show on streaming online, or listen to a podcast, or let's read a best-selling book on Kindle. Give us our spiritual fix that way. Whatever it may be, human nature desires quick fixes. practice, learning, growing, maturing. Ugh. Didn't we go through that misery over in high school and college? Really? More of that, please? Ugh. Who has time for that now? Well, I'm going to call us out. We need to participate less as a consumer of religion and more as a cultivator of the spiritual life. Because if we're in the same place in our relationship with Christ as when we started, then Houston, we've got a problem. Because how often do we rely upon ourselves, thinking we can produce our own figs? That we don't need anybody else. We're the masters of our own destiny. That our self-reliance, we can, we can apply that to our spiritual lives. To mature in faith, to follow Christ. My friends, that means that we have to take this on intentionally. The word intentional comes from, it's derived from the Latin, intentus and intendere, which means to stretch out for, to aim at, to commit, to be consistent, to be attentive. Here's what Bishop Schneezy, he wrote this in his book, and I like this. It says, those who practice intentional faith development, they make room in their lives for learning faith. They plan to feed their spirits. Learning faith becomes a way of life, a practice that is no longer haphazard and incidental, but it's central and important. When we're in community with one another, that's when we learn. That's when we are together. We learn and we're trying out new ideas. We're being supportive. That's where networking happens. We're testing out thoughts and ideas. We gain perspective and insight. That's where we're sharing the love of Christ. It's in community that we actually discover Christ. Because didn't Jesus say, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm among them? That's community. Communion with one another deepens our communion with God. And that's certainly applicable to peace, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, hope, gentleness, love, grace, and serving. For each of these are communal in nature. They are social and they've got to be experienced with one another, with people. I've witnessed this firsthand. I have seen amazing transformation in several individuals in a matter of less than a year because they have been intentional with their faith development. They have become strangers to their former selves. They have become different, and that light now shines from within, and it is coming out. These persons have become more peaceful and courageous. They have become more hopeful and thankful. They've become resilient and patient. When opportunities grow in our faith at either campus, we have got to take advantage of these opportunities. That includes classes, studies, group gatherings, lunches, choirs, retreats, support groups. I'm going to give you two examples, recent examples. We had 33 participants at a study of homosexuality and the Bible that I led. That group forced me to go into a fourth session. 33, not six, not five, 33. We had 20 participants, right there, Pastor Denise, 20 participants at the recent compassion workshop that was led by, on a Saturday, no less, that was led by Dr. Frank Rogers Jr. And the participants at both of these gatherings, they left them pumped. There's currently on Tuesday evenings, we got Spirit Pub in WeHo. We have the Arena, which meets over there at Harmony. Wednesday evenings, Financial Peace University at Harmony. And we have got an outstanding choir, amen. Here at the Hollywood campus. Thursday evenings, we have the new college age young adult gathering 412 over at Harmony, as well as the grief group led by Rev Ed once a month, plus a twice a month queer and lesbian women meeting. Sunday mornings, Pastor Denise, she's in there. She's leading a gathering prior to worship service. Sundays in Harmony after worship, there's lunch gatherings on the first and the third Sundays of each month, and there is more. There is more coming down the pike. I'm presenting these opportunities to you as examples for our faith development, and yet, for our spiritual growth, which wolf are we going to feed? Will we decide to work with God to cultivate and fertilize the fig tree in our lives? Where are we going to place our intentions? My hope for all of us is this, that we be curious and open to learning, to being courageous, to trying, you know what, try something new. Let's try something different. Let's put ourselves out there. Let's participate in the life of the community of faith in this church community to be even more caring and supportive of one another, as well as the other, to become more in Christ. Which wolf will you feed? Let's feed the wolf motivated by peace, gentleness, honesty, justice, and love, that is attentive to the presence and working of the Spirit and that changes us from the inside out. Amen. Amen. Amen.